You're listening to the True Faith Podcast with me, Adam Widdrington, as your host. I'm joined today by Mickey Chubbs and Paul Lyon. We're going to be discussing today a lot of the fan activism that's cropped up over the last week. If Rafa goes, we go is the hashtag and the Twitter account that has garnered a lot of attention and support from some celebrities as well. They've set up a GoFundMe account that was recently just deactivated as well. I think there seems to be a lot of support in theory about doing something to finally get rid of Mike Ashley from the club. But as it stands, I think there's a lot to discuss, from turning a few angry tweets and a few well-intentioned plans into something that manifests into something tangible that we can actually get involved with and engage with in real life as well. But today we're going to be talking about all of that. What does that hashtag mean to you? How has the club got to this point? And what do you see happening over the next few weeks in the transfer window? And what happens over the course of the season? We'll be discussing all of that. This show is sponsored by our patron fans who make all of this possible with better recording gear. They, for £5 a month, they get entitled to up to 2 to 4 extra shows a week, full to the brim of Newcastle United content. You won't get any of that in-depth analysis on any of the national pods. This is your only place to come for 100% Newcastle content, unedited, uncensored. We'll say exactly how we feel. You might disagree, you might agree with us, but what we want to do is spark debate, get everyone involved. So if you want to join Patreon and get access to all this amazing content that we've got loads of regular shows, head over to TF Weekly Pod on Twitter and the link to Patreon is in there. Get involved. It's basically the price of a pint every month. I'm sure everyone can stretch to that. And if you do that...
Where are you getting your pints from? £5.
Hey, times are changing, Mickey. Times are changing. So the price of a pint in a premium establishment, price of a half pint if you're a TF exile as well. And I can't say any more than that. Get involved. You'll not regret it. And we'll save you a few calories as well for that pint that you didn't have last month. So shall we, without further ado, let's crack on. So if your head's been in the sand over the last sort of week and you don't know what's been happening on Twitter, basically in the wake of Rafa's comments about there being no transfer budget, no surprise there, and him having to wheel and deal, in his own words, sell to buy has been a phrase as well that's just maybe has been the straw that broke the camel's back for many people. A movement called If Rafa Goes, We Go has surfaced. It's garnered about 12,000 followers in the last week. It's got celebrity endorsement from the likes of Anton Deck, from Warren Barton, from Chi Onwuara, the MP as well. So it's got a lot of credible backing, but quite what the plans look like, we'll have a look into that. But ultimately, you know, how do you think we've come to this? How have we come to this? Mickey, I'm going to come to you first. Is this a surprise to you? Why now? Why are people suddenly saying, right, that is enough?
I think you've nailed it there, saying that it's a straw that broke the camel's back, the comments from Rafa. I remember reading that interview when I was at work and just being disgusted. However, not surprised. And that's a key point, I think. You know, anyone with any sense that's been looking at Newcastle over the past 10 years could have seen this coming a mile off. And, you know, I think it's just the absolute clarity with which Rafa spoke about there being no money has really triggered everyone at the same time. And that's something that probably hasn't quite happened previously, with everyone being angry all at once. So that's what I think has led to this massive social media push. Just to get in straight away, though, we need to be clear that that's all it is at the minute. It's a social media campaign, and it's amongst a very specific group of Newcastle fans, which isn't representative of the fan base as a whole. So my first point on it is that it needs to be far more than just this before we start to see any progress whatsoever. take my dad, for example. You know, you said if you've had your head in the sand for the past couple of weeks, you wouldn't have seen any of this. My dad wouldn't have seen any of this because he doesn't use social media. He's had a season ticket for 35 years or something like that. Or, well, as long as you could have a season ticket before that, he just went. So it's not necessarily a head in the sand job for people that haven't heard it. Like, there'll be thousands of season ticket holders out there that haven't got a clue this is going on until they read it on the back page of the Chronicle. So,
no, fair comments, Mickey, fair comments. And obviously, like you say, it's a select number of people who actively use Twitter and Facebook that are engaged in that, probably a younger younger fan base as well. Mm-hmm. Chubbs, what's your take on it and how do you feel about the movement? What do you, you know, what are your initial thoughts of this kind of sprouting up overnight?
If Rafa goes, we go. I've sort of already gone, to be quite honest. Probably noticed I haven't done a podcast for a while. I hate to use the term bored, but I'm just pretty bored of following NUFC at the minute. And I don't want my geordiness to be questioned or my loyalty to the club or my love of football to be questioned. I think, really, I'm a football fan first, Newcastle United fan second. Like, I will sit and watch any game of football, Serie A, World Cup, whatever it might be. And the fairy tale of following Newcastle is sort of gone a long time ago now. Like, when Mickey said he read it and he was foaming but not surprised, like, I wasn't even slightly surprised. Like, it was just like, we're just back to square one. I don't know how long ago the talking at the Irish Centre was, what day that was.
February the 1st.
Yeah, February the 1st. I mean, I was basically placed in then because I was one of the few fans who was notioned for a protest then. Obviously, I think for a long time, the old slogan was that we wanted it, all we demand is a team that tries, or something like that. Well, we certainly got it. Like, we've got a lot of players who are committed to be at the club, but I think a lot of them, without being disrespectful, are quite lucky to be at the club. Do you know what I mean? And that's why they're trying. Like, we've bought players who are playing probably above their own level, or players that are lucky to be playing at a club of such stature and such a mad following. A lot of them, almost journeymen we've got, that Rafa's sort of pulled around and gone, actually, you're an alright footballer, we'll get you going in the Premier League. And that's where we're at. Back in February, I was calling for protest. Basically, obviously, we wanted this team that tried, we got it, and now we've got fans who are kind of so behind Rafa. And Rafa, obviously, when he spoke, like, closely with the True Faith lads, he said that a protest away from match day would be detrimental because the players need the support to stay up and that we are a 12th man and all the rest of it. I couldn't really see any other route. I'm really happy that this is happening, this if Rafa goes, we go, but why should it get to the point that Rafa has to go for us to go? Like, why can't we support Rafa from an indirect perspective, you know, and keep him at the club? Because effectively, if he goes and then Mike actually doesn't sell the club, then we're in an even worse position than, you know, we're just left protesting without a world-class manager, probably looking at a journeyman manager coming in for three quarters of the season or whatever it might be. And finally,
I think the idea, though, is that the protest, that there is the threat of people leaving on that basis. So I get your point. But sure.
Paul, I'll come to you now, mate. This is kind of, you know, as much as I think most of us can get behind the notion of we want Mike Ashley out, there'll probably be very few Mike Ashley supporters in the Newcastle fan base.
Yeah.
Law of percentages says there's probably a couple that really like him. Yeah. The 1%. How have you seen this sort of manifesting over the last few days in terms of it sort of dividing the fan base from your perspective?
Yeah, well, Jobs, you mentioned it. It was just like, my geordiness is being questioned because I'm not going to the match and that, and I'm willing to give that right up. When I first seen it sort of come about on Twitter and stuff like that, I thought, well, yeah, it is on the back of Rafa's comments. And it is, I think there does need to be some sort of positive action to rid the club of Mike Ashley. I think what everyone's looking at from Gunner and from what's been said on Twitter, it just seems to be like, right, we need to spend some money right now. And it's like, well, yeah, but what happens next summer? Are we going to do this again? It's like, that would be really, really tiresome. I mean, it's like, it's bad enough as it is. It's like it's almost becoming a chore again to go and support the club because everybody's already thinking, well, Rafa's already got his bags packed. He's like, he's preparing to leave in a way. You see him on the touchlines in his tracksuit. He's literally being a coach. He's no longer like, he's like, well, I've got no influence on this club as a whole. So Why am I even wearing my suit? It's like I'm just literally getting the best out of this ragtag bunch of lads, and I'm doing and as long as I'm here and the fans want us here, then I'll do that. But yeah, once that contract's up, it's like, where can I go and actually influence a full football club? And that's where everything needs to be focused at, actually ridding the club of Ashley rather than just another summer where we need to get some money spent.
Absolutely. I mean, it sort of comes on to, you know, the next point in terms of how, you know, why now, basically? What, you know, this has been going on for a decade. Why now? I mean, from my own personal perspective, I think we've all been in a bit of a World Cup coma. Following, I think if England had got knocked out earlier, I think the rage would have probably started a couple of weeks earlier. There's the panic now of 3 weeks left of the window. It's a much shorter window this summer, obviously. The window will shut before the first kickoff of the Premier League season. And I think it's slowly, the slow realisation that this is Rafa Benitez's last summer of his contract. We know that he loves the club. He's made overtures to say that if the conditions are right, he will be here for 5 to 10 years, maybe. He wants to see this through as a long-term project. However, I think this realisation that it critically comes down to this transfer window as to whether Rafa himself will sign this contract. There's an impasse between the owner, Mike Ashley, who will not release funds until Rafa signs a contract, and Rafa himself. Why would he trust a man who's let him down so many times before? Why would he sign a long-term contract without actually seeing the money? There's a very easy solution to this. If Mike Ashley's genuine about giving him the money that he needs to back the club, and he's not, like we said before, he's not asking him to compete with Man City. He's asking to compete with Huddersfield and Fulham and Cardiff. Do you know what I mean? And Bournemouth, who are looking at two players over the, you know, for a combined 54 million and stuff. You know, he doesn't need a daft amount of money. So if Mike Ashley's serious about this, which I don't believe he is, he would just put in his contract, there you go, that's how much I'm going to give you for this summer. There you go, sign the contract. So I think the case of it's now worry, and you say about, you know, well, what happens next summer? We have to just look at it in terms of short-termism now, because we know that if the conditions are right at the end of this summer, Rafa will sign along the dotted line, and I think that's kind of top of the priority as I see it. In terms of what people want, they just want Rafa to stay. The rest of the stuff, the other politics that are inevitably going to ensue later on down the line, we can deal with that while he's under contract. But the fear is now that he's willing to just do his best for this summer and walk away. I mean, would you agree with that?
I understand the principle, but I think that's a big part of the problem, is having that attitude. Rafa Benitez could stay this summer. He could stay another couple of years. But if he stays under the conditions that we have at the moment, what's the point ultimately? There's the long-term issue is getting Mike Ashley out of the club. And regardless of what we achieve this year, even if we've got Rafa 200 million quid, which is never going to happen, next summer we'll be back to square one again. The same thing, the same problems will continue to occur time after time until Mike Ashley leaves. So for me, looking at it from the perspective of getting Rafa to stay this summer is completely wrong, and is a big part of the issue that Newcastle fans have. It pains me to say it, but Rafa Benitez is almost irrelevant to the future in Newcastle United at the minute. Like, it's bigger than that.
It's not just the team on the pitch, it's the entire product. Do you know what I mean? It's like I was seeing on Twitter, like, just obviously trolling to bits, but I haven't bought a shirt since it went to Puma. Do you know what I mean? You should just buy a shirt out of pure loyalty to the club, because you thought, oh, well, the money's going back in. You're better off now buying an England shirt, because at least the money's going to the FA, which is going into the grassroots game. Do you know what I mean? And like, it's stuff like the Wonga sponsorship, which is crazy. Now I'm not too into buying a shirt with Chinese writing all over the front of it. The whole product is an absolute bit. I mean, I was speaking to Spurs and Aguna fans the other day, and they were sort of saying, oh, that's why you're stupid, you lot, because Spurs are getting something like 300 million over 3 seasons to rename the stadium. So like, that's why you Newcastle fans are stupid. To us, it's always going to be White Hart Lane. To use it should have always been St James's Park. You should have just took Sports Direct Arena. And I was like, actually, that's where he uses stupid, because he already owns the club, so we weren't getting any extra revenue for letting him name it the Sports Direct Arena. And he's got advertising all over the stadium, which I can't stand to look at. His brand's so ugly. It's all over the stadium, and we're getting, again, no extra revenue for that. We're actually losing out on money that we could be spending on players by him advertising for free premium advertising space for Premier League club. Like, it's absolutely crazy. And like, obviously the manager at the minute and the team staying in the Premier League is the most important thing to the fans, but it's from the ground up. I mean, I've got a friend who's just taking a job at Sunderland, and he was looking at getting a job at Newcastle United. And he said, dealing with the club for the same job at Sunderland was just painstaking. He said it took weeks and weeks and weeks to get anything out of them. The whole club's run on a shoestring. Back room, in the offices, everything. The way he's running the club is the way he runs Sports Direct, and it's been the same narrative now for how long has he been there? 10 years?
Yeah, 10, 11 years, yeah.
I heard Lee Charlie was on a 0 hours contract.
Paul, I'm going to ask you an ultimate. I've got an ultimatum for you.
Right.
Would you sooner see Ashley go, but then Rafa isn't at the club, or would you want to see Rafa stay, but Mike Ashley still be there?
Oh, Christ. Well, you've got to look at the long term. You can't just keep repeating this absolute headache of an existence. It's not even an existence. We're not paying the going rate for anything. And yeah, I mean, ultimately, I could say, yeah, Rafa, whether he stays for 5-10 years, I've got two sons, I take my nephew, and like, what are they going to be supporting? What are they going to look at Newcastle United as their football club, or is it just like, oh, that team down the road? It's just like you need them fully bought in. And as long as Ashley's there, it's like you're not going to get that because, well, the guys that they're looking up to, i.e. myself, isn't going to give like the same heart that I did back when I first started going and things like that. So, yeah, we need to get Ashley out.
I mean, I can completely see both sides. I mean, at the minute, I see Rafa as the glue that keeps everything together. That is why I don't think without the backing that the fans gave Rafa Benitez since he's arrived, I don't think we finished 10th last season. I don't think that happens at all. I think we flirt with relegation. I think those, you know, look at those two home games against Southampton and Huddersfield. They were, for me, a huge turning point. And we kind of, you know, and that Man United game, we finally became, do you remember, you know, Fortress St James's? Like, we were unbeatable at home back in the late 90s, and we were incredibly difficult to... we were incredibly difficult to beat, so we need to, you know, we need to get that back, and he's a big part of that. But yeah, I think it's difficult. It's a terrible situation to be in.
Yeah.
We want both, don't we?
Yeah, basically.
We want the cake, and we want the meat. I think we've suffered enough.
For me, the match day support doesn't have to be part of the protest. So we can have both. We can get behind Rafa and the lads at the game, home and away, in the same way as we have for the last couple of years. It's for me the effective ways of targeting Ashley are away from St James's Park.
No, I absolutely agree with you there, and I think we'll get onto that later on in the podcast. But yeah, I think what we need to do is respect the different sides of Newcastle fan base. I think all the infighting is only going to be detrimental. Like, we need to take everybody's perspective and respect it and digest it. And you know, it's important that, you know, we shouldn't be aiming vitriol and hatred at each other just because we all love Newcastle. That's sort of undisputed. We shouldn't be targeting hatred at journalists or, you know, the Sky Sports reporters. Like, this isn't down to them. Any decisions that happen at Sky Sports are way, way above their pay grade. Like, they're just guys with jobs just trying to get along, you know. Absolutely. Mark Douglas getting a load of flack as well. Pete Graves, Keith Downey. Like, this isn't on them.
This I disagree.
Is exactly what Mike Ashley wants. Go on, then, go for it.
I disagree. The local journalists are different, and Mark Douglas especially is a really nice guy and does a job to the best of his ability. The Sky lads are part of the parcel mouthpiece wankers that Sky produce as a whole. And to listen to Pete Graves and Keith Downey and take their word as gospel is idiocy, frankly. And they're part of the problem, and they're a disgrace.
But do you not think that they're just getting on with their job? So a lot of people, you know, aiming vitriol at that sort of that puff piece that David Craig did.
It was an absolute pile of shit, man.
What did it have to do with them? Did they make the decision on that?
Probably didn't make the decision, but they asked the questions, didn't they?
Sorry?
They asked the questions.
No, they weren't interviewing him. It was a David Craig interview that was set up. Yes, it was through Sky, but I don't think it had anything to do with
Adam's
saying
is their narrative dictated by the bosses at Sky and they're just mouthpieces for what's possibly being fed down?
Yeah, I guess they probably shouldn't be crucified for just doing their job, but I'd like to do it anyway.
Yeah.
I wouldn't carry on like that if I was them. I wouldn't.
Yeah, but it's a livelihood in a way, and they're just earning, you know, they're just earning a wage, like, yeah. You know. So ultimately, right, so hashtag, if Rafa goes, we go. Chubbs, what does that mean to you?
I'm happy to pie it, like, totally, like, ready to pie it.
But in terms of, like, but what difference would that make from your current situation?
Yeah.
What does that mean to you in terms of what you might change in yourself in what how
might
you
change
support the club?
Yeah. In how I support the club? Well, obviously I wouldn't. I'm not buying shirts anyway. I certainly wouldn't buy any merchandise. And I wouldn't be attending matches, even though I'm not able to attend as many matches as I would like anyway. I would attend zero. And happily partake in that process. And I don't want to be the pitchfork brigade and I obviously don't want to turn Newcastle United fans into a laughing stock, which we have been at times, particularly on Sky Sports News, getting interviewed outside the ground. They seem to be able to find the biggest idiot for the judge that they can. But
that rod for Keith Downey's back there.
I really, really would enjoy some process at Sports Direct. I don't know why people are trying to make out that it has to be peaceful. I'm not happy with like the fact that he's got a piece of Northumberland Street, and apparently he's buying the even bigger store across. Was it the Klaus Olsen that's gone? Apparently he's getting that as well. So he's getting an even bigger store on Northumberland Street, which is crazy. Massive stores at the Metro Centre. It's an absolute pile of shite, and it's essentially what is Newcastle United is just fueling his company. That's all it's doing. Free advertising constantly within the club. And whatever sort of protest we can do against his sales at Sports Direct should do it. If you're actually a Newcastle United fan, there's no way you should shop there. How many other, like, discountfootballkits.com, not plugging for them. Just anyone who's got a local football club, buys anything from there, last-minute match day, shin pads, whatever, just go online. Amazon has got it all. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's so many other options, yet we seem to just be drawn to going to Sports Direct. I don't understand how he's opening our area. I cannot physically get my head around it. We can't shop there.
I can't disagree with you, Chubbs. Paul, I'm going to come to you. If Rafa goes, we go. Do you buy into that statement? What does that statement mean to you? How might that affect you going forward as a Newcastle United fan?
Well, my personal situation, I actually take my nephew, who's 11-year-old. And for me, it's not just about me boycotting the ground and making a stand. It's like I'm actually denying a grown kid his birthright in a way. At 11-year-old, I took everything in at the match, and it was such a buzz and that. I don't think I could have named who owned the club and who was making the decisions and things like that, because it wasn't important. Obviously, having said that, when I was 10, 11, we had like Kevin Keegan as manager, everything was rosy. So yeah, it would be very difficult for me not to go to the game. I mean, it's a drug to everyone that goes and pays away, and my Saturdays without the match is just like, it's not, I don't even want to think about it, to be honest, because it'll be Metro Centre this, IKEA that, and all that kind of, and it'll just be like, well, I've been
escapism.
Yeah. I don't know, I'll probably spend all my data on my phone because I'll be refreshing and seeing what the lads are doing. But so yeah, for me personally, I'll still be in the ground.
That's a very valid answer. Mickey, I'm going to come to you. What does it mean to you, that hashtag?
At the moment, very little. It depends on how they're going to approach the particular protest that their Twitter handle suggests, the want. If they were to set up a database of season ticket holders who agree uniformly that they won't renew and provide their names and season ticket numbers or supporter numbers or whatever it's called, then it becomes a bit more viable, but it would have to be done as part of a wider project. At the moment, it's just a hashtag that's got support on social media and nowhere else. So I'm not trying to belittle what they've done, and I think it's great that they've managed to like galvanize the support into doing something, but yeah. You know, this is step number one of 10,000, and
yeah, I don't think I've touched on it yet at all. Without being disrespectful to the people that have set up the page and obviously done well and all the rest of it, I've got absolutely no faith whatsoever that anything's going to happen. Like, I know it's getting backed by Ant and Dec and all the rest of it, but I just, honestly, I can't see anything happening. Like, how many times have we sort of had this chat before? We've ended up back at square one. Like, realistically, if people say, put their season ticket numbers in, blah, blah, say they're not going to renew, there's people that are going to take that season ticket. People are gonna,
well, there's not a waiting list anymore.
Well, currently, so at 11:45 this morning, of Sunday, the latest figures that if Rafa Goes We Go tweeted was that 338 season ticket match day ticket holders would go for Rafa Goes based on the surveys links that they posted, and 606 fans would boycott Newcastle and Sports Direct shops. So you think those numbers? It's obviously very early doors, but with
got 10,000 followers, I'm gobsmacked that's all it is.
Yeah. So less than 500 season ticket holders, you'd imagine, given that there's probably, what, 44,000 season ticket holders at the minute, it's a drop in the ocean at the minute. I think, Mickey, I massively agree with you in that it doesn't, to me personally, it doesn't mean loads yet, because I don't understand, I don't know exactly what the crack is. I don't know what they stand for. I don't know how they intend to reach that plan. I think that they don't know that themselves yet. I think they're just trying to garner support and see who is getting on board so they can start having meaningful conversations. I think the involvement of Newcastle United Supporters Trust is crucial in this, because they are a credible organisation, registered charity, they're FA approved. At the minute, this Twitter account is faceless, and they initially asked for 10 grand as a crowdfunding. I think they've since reneged on that. So, I mean, fair play to them for listening to the criticism that they might have received for that. I wouldn't recommend anyone giving money to something that they don't know where it's going, what it is. And you know, we probably want transparency if we don't know who these people are.
What do they want £10,000 for?
Exactly. An assortment of different things to get the message out there. I think marketing, advertising, maybe to produce some printing materials. Again, it's all very vague stuff. I don't want to... We did actually ask them to come on this show, but they declined. That's not to say that they won't want to kind of, you know, speak publicly through this channel or any other channel in the future. But we did ask them to come on this podcast so that we can ask them the questions that we want answered. But I mean, I suspect that they don't know the answers to those questions yet, which is why we're all a bit in the dark. But I think ultimately, as Mickey says, it's the first step of many. But at least we've got to recognise that this is a positive thing. We might criticise the fact that they don't know what's happening yet or how they mean to approach things, but it's a positive step. It's something that has got the attention of a lot of people, and hopefully it can grow and manifest into something a bit more tangible with the likes of Newcastle United Supporters Trust behind it. Because I think if any kind of fan-led initiative probably needs their involvement to get the wider exposure, to get the credibility that's going to need it. And if it's laid out exactly what money will help to achieve, then I think they can then be in the right minds to then ask other people to back a project that will hopefully raise awareness of how much we hate Mike Ashley at the club and how much we want him out. So
I think, to be fair to them, that's what they've said they're going to do going forward, is they're going to release specific fundraising goals and with, you know, exactly what they're going to spend the money on. So they have listened.
Yes, no, and I imagine they didn't expect to have so many followers overnight. It was probably kind of on a whim of being like really angry. That's like, right, I've had enough. And you've got to respect that. And they've got some great support. I say support, they've had a couple of retweets off a couple of big accounts that, you know, in the big scale of things, as you mentioned earlier, it doesn't mean anything yet, but hopefully it can be the start of meaning something. So let's move on. This might be a very easy question to answer, but where does everyone stand on Mike Ashley? Chubbs, I'll come to you.
I think... I'll stop myself.
Open
I'll stop
Pandora's
myself.
Box.
Yeah. He's kind of living a really sort of twisted, sadistic existence owning this club. It's gone beyond strange a long time ago. I've got no idea what his interests are, even financially, to still be running the club. He seems to quite like being hated or being in the spotlight, sort of. I don't actually understand how his mind works, but what I think is that the hashtag is great. But just going back with the hashtag is great. It's catchy. I'm glad that it's got support and that, you know, it's going somewhere. But the hashtag needs to be Boycott Sports Direct, probably. That needs to gather some steam. And we need to make it, like, unlivable for him. Like, there's so many times, like, he's done us over, lied to the fan base, which we can't really hold him accountable for because he actually does own the club. He can do what he wants. But there's so many times he's done over and we've just kind of gone, oh, well, he's got Rafa Benitez now at Sound. I just forget all that. Sound, like, we've got Rafa Benitez now. And then we've gone back to the match, or, well, not even protested. We've carried on and we just keep going back to square one. And we need rid. And it's been the same narrative now for 11 years or so, and it's got to stop.
No, you're right, and I think the crux of it there is that to keep up this hatred, to keep up negative vibes, it takes effort.
Yeah,
it takes time, and it's exhausting for everybody. Mm-hmm. And we've gone through peaks and troughs over the last decade. It's fluctuated, and like you say, when McLaren got 80 million. Brilliant.
Yeah, we're getting
some big players. These are all mint on Football Manager, so they'll be mint for us.
Yeah.
when we got Rafa Benitez to stay, that was massive. And, you know, he deserves credit for getting Rafa in, but that does not erase everything else that he's done since he's arrived.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that, you know, what you said there, I don't understand his motivations as well. I think the only thing... It has to be financially viable for him to be around, and I think this global exposure of his brand is his favorite company, which is Sports Direct. It's not Newcastle. He barely gives a shit about Newcastle. Mm-hmm. It's a means to expose his business, and he'll get a bit of revenue through. And
I think it's even like just like mini versions of sort of him bringing we're back and us forgetting about things is like getting Kennedy back this year, but again, it's on a loan. Do you know what I mean? It's not. Like, we've sort of then all had a mini bit of joy and then we forget about things for a little bit. And like Ki Sung Young and stuff, I mean, all the lads in the podcast were sort of really happy about them coming in and stuff. And I was just like super negative. And I think that's because I don't like, obviously, all the lads are like very clued up on football and live in a realistic world where he is a good signing for the club that we are considered by people who aren't from Newcastle, for where we're at, for where we finished last season, for the level of players that we've got in the club at the minute. He's a great signing. He's a great squad player. Do you know what I mean? He's got great experience, all the rest of it. I understand that and I get that, but life's short and I'm not excited at all by signing him, and I just refuse to live in this world where we are that club, because we're not. And you talk about taking your nephews to the game and all the rest of it. I mean, I've got like cousins and stuff and they think Newcastle is shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, the best thing they've grown up on was like Demba Ba, which was kind of good. Papi Cisse, good banter. But like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's what they, like, in their childhood, sat there, played on FIFA with, like, that was their dream team. Do you know what I mean? We're so lucky that we grew up in an era where we've seen us, like, challenging for Premier League titles. We've seen us in Champions League playing against Barcelona's, all the rest of it. I mean, even Jermaine Jenas forgot that he played against Barcelona for Newcastle recently on BT Sport, if you saw that, do you know what I mean? Like, that's how I see us as a club, and that's how I see us as a club, like, throughout the country. And I mean, before when we were sat talking, I was just sort of scrolling, looking at the Premier League table, and I was sat there, and Watford, Bournemouth, Brighton, Wolves, Burnley, Cardiff, aren't even from England, Huddersfield, Crystal Palace... Any of these teams, like, do any of these teams sound like even remotely, or even from places that are more influential in the UK economy or like just tourism or anything? Do you know what I mean? It's just not even slightly on our level in any way, shape, or form. Yet we're accepting mediocrity, and we've been accepting mediocrity for a long, long time, to the point where we're absolutely buzzing off Ki Sung Young signing. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, football fans get excited about like Ronaldo going to Juventus. I'm a football fan first, I'd have to say. Don't get excited about us signing Ki Sung Young. Like, in the slightest, and like, he's not the problem here. All I'm saying is that's a complete microcosm of where we're at. But where we're at now, it's a sad, depressing place to be. We should have made change a long time ago. if this isn't the time when it happens now, I'm not saying it's going to be off the back of this hashtag, but the general attitude in the fan base, I don't know when it will happen.
Paul, I'll come on to you. Where do you stand on Mike Ashley? Obviously, in light of, you know, season ticket prices about to go over a big bump, how's that going to affect you? And how has Mike Ashley shaped, you think, as a Newcastle fan over the last few years?
Well, it's just like every little sort of modicum of sort of success, I'd say that in inverted commas, I would say it's just papered over like cracks that have like glaringly been sort of missed and not being sort of remedied. In terms of of the season ticket thing, I mean, we're probably on a par with where we should be, I think. But like, for him to be sort of, we've got the biggest family enclosure in Europe and all that kind of stuff, and Lord and that, it's like, well, now you've just hit with this like sort of price hike. It hasn't affected mine this season, but it certainly will next, and it'll be like quite a jump actually.
And ultimately, for a price hike, you expect to see a better product.
Well, exactly that.
Rather than spending less on players, freebies, loan signings, yeah, cut price deals, yeah, of which Rafa's, in fairness, excellent at seeking out. You look at the likes of Florian Lejeune coming in for less than 10 million. He looks at a stupid piece of business. Even Marino, obviously that didn't work out, but he picked him up for less than 10 million as well. Mm-hmm. So Rafa has his networks to be able to take those awful restrictions at least to a level that other managers wouldn't be able to. But it seems to be a is it a kick in the face for season ticket holders and goes to the games, away matches as well, that they'll be paying more, but they're not actually getting, less the away matches in terms of prices, but that they'll be paying more to go to St James's Park, but you know, half the players are in on loan or mm-hmm. free transfers, yeah, out of contract, you know.
It's not even, we've been rammed down the throat that it's like, the gate receipts don't really account for much and all that kind of stuff. So, well, why are you hiking them? It's like, if it's inconsequential that we're getting 52,000 in every week, then why are you putting the prices up? It's like,
and the shirt prices as well.
The shirt, well, they're just
among the highest in the Premier League.
They're absolutely scandalous. I'm like you. I've never bought a Puma one. It's just the quality's just not there. There's no time spent on it. It's not individual to Newcastle. And then just rehashing old shirts that are like, you know, evoking memories for people.
What was it someone said about the burgundy and blue one? Obviously, the advertising, the background was kind of like Pavel Cernicek and all sorts of old Newcastle stuff. It was almost patronising, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like,
it was one massive omission though, like, because it was Kevin. It was no Kevin Keegan though, was it? And like, he was the guy who managed that team. Mm-hmm. There was a Robson statue thing, but like, Keegan's like just being slowly erased from Newcastle's history because of his obviously his relationship
you can't
with Ashley.
One without the other, you can't push Kevin Keegan under the carpet without trying to sort of like use nostalgia to sort of evoke people. Yeah. And I guess get them to forget what's actually going on.
Yeah. I think what people are forgetting about that shirt as well is what was mainly so iconic about it was the Newcastle Brown Ale
in
front, really. And like, now we're at the point where it's Fun 88. I mean, I've got no beef with them, really. I just think that Chinese writing on the front of a Newcastle shirt is just so irrelevant. And I know I'm harping on about the product and stuff like that, which doesn't really matter about the team on the pitch, which is the ultimate thing. You know, you go and watch a team on the pitch and you forget about all the rest of it. But why are we forgetting about the rest of it? Do you know what I mean? You used to wear Newcastle United tops as a fashion item. Like, that would bring the club in a lot of money. If you look at actually wider football economics, like, you look at the Nigeria shirt. So that's gone into, like, the realms of Depop and stuff where they sold out the Nigeria shirt, right? And it's now worth over 150 quid to actually just get one. You have to buy it off someone that bought it when they're released. You know, when it goes like all like sneakerheads and stuff like that, how they buy Yeezys or whatever and enter a raffle to get these certain trainers and they'll never make them again. That's happening. Like, that was happening with it. You couldn't buy an England top when we're through the quarterfinals. Do you know what I mean? You couldn't physically get one. Like, they couldn't keep up with the demand. And we're sat here with just absolutely dog-shy products. Like,
and ultimately, those products have kind of, the club's already paid for them essentially because they're licensed out to those sports manufacturers. So to not buy them now, and I think it was a point that Alex made on the the patron exclusive True Faith question and answers on Friday with Norman. He made a good point that maybe in the long term, not buying shirts now might make it difficult for Newcastle to negotiate a higher, you know, per season revenue deal. But short term, they've already they already have that money. It's down to the manufacturers to then sell them, and they might get a small cut possibly. Mickey, I'll come to you. You might have, you know, you might be rehashing stuff that you've said plenty of times on the True Faith podcast. Mike Ashley, where do you stand with them as it stands?
Well, let's just pick up on the season ticket prices, because that, you look at the last 8 years under Mike Ashley, that is the only thing that they've got right. The only one single thing that they've got right while they've been here has been ticket prices for Newcastle. It's been ultra competitive, one of the lowest in the league, really accessible for a working class area. You know, everything else has been shite that they've done, but that was really good and really positive and great to see in this area. And then out of nowhere, bang, £200 on the price of a season ticket. Mm-hmm. What? It's unbelievable that that they don't see that that's the one thing they've done right. It's unbelievable that they think the average man in this area can afford an additional £200 a year, possibly times two, three, four, if he's taking his family. It's absolute bollocks.
But then Mike Ashley doesn't see that as doing it right. He's probably thinking, ah, oh, bloody hell, I've lost out on loads of money here by not raising them earlier, you know?
It should be more of an issue, though. People should be more annoyed about it.
I think you're right, Mickey. Looking at it, it says here, cost for cheapest adult seat in Newcastle is £571. If you're on 16 to 20K, like a lot of people in the Northeast, that is, and you've got to take your kids, that is an absolute scandalous price, really. It's a huge chunk of your salary to go and watch something that you're really, really not happy with.
But to be honest, I mean, it could almost be like be a wider point in the rising price of football and blame the Premier League and blame Sky. But yes, you would stomach that a lot easier if they were investing that money into the pitch and into the team that you see on a match day. Because when you're there at the match, you do forget the politics. You forget the fact that, oh, people will be complaining about Kennedy. Oh, well, he's not really ours. We've only got him on loan. When he's on the pitch on an attack, tearing down the left wing, nobody's thinking about him just being in on loan. All you care about is that he's on the pitch, giving his all for the club. So, and we would take it if we thought that we were actually, they were on our side and wanted to pump the money into the club. But Mike Ashley obviously doesn't want to do that, and there's no reason to suggest that he would ever change tack now. So let's move on and let's say, well, right, next steps. What do people want to happen next? Personally, and to sort of give my response to the "if Rafa goes, we go" hashtag, that doesn't mean much to me at the moment. I think it's good that it's happening, and I'd like to see where it's going to take us when it's not a faceless account. When NUST might be able to get involved, we'll see what happens there. But ultimately, I'm not going to give up my season ticket because it's a huge part of my life. I love the club. I'm one of these daft people that will just go regardless. And I think it's times like these that we need to support the team more than ever, you know. And I think this really has to be a sort of like two parallels at the same time. We need to give the team the utmost support that we ever can and put all of our energy into that, but also concurrently work on campaigns of how we can, and any sort of activism that is legal and not criminal, to get to, you know, to persuade Mike Ashley that it's just not worth his while to stay around. But I'm going to continue to go, and again, Alex and Norman got into this in a lot of depth. And if you want to hear this, sign up to Patreon and listen to the Q&A podcast from Friday to get their views on, you know, a load of ways that we can possibly move forward and without having to boycott going to the game. Because I don't want somebody like Mike Ashley to dictate whether I should go to see my favourite club or not. I don't. I know that Chubbs, you've had a difference in opinion on that in the past, and again, I respect where you're coming from, and I you know, we've got to take everyone's you know, point of view, because I don't think in terms of Newcastle fans anyone is necessarily in the wrong here. We're all being suppressed by the same poison, so I will still go. However, that does not mean that the hashtag to me means that I will be happy to support any campaigns if I feel that it's a viable campaign and that it's going to cause some tangible damage to Mike Ashley and make him rethink his strategies. So I'm on board in essence, but I'd like to see what plans are in essence. So what happens next? I would like to see, as Chubbs mentioned before, I think we hit him where it hurts with Sports Direct. I think your hashtag boycott Sports Direct has more focus. I think everyone can relate to it. It's more universal. It's not restricted to Newcastle United. You know, he's the working conditions of Shirebrook, for example. He's been pulled in front of politicians on more than one occasion, and
it doesn't seem to affect him though. It's like he seems to be like impervious to like being thrown again up in the courts and stuff like that. He's like on Mike Ashley Island or something. It's just like
he's like Teflon, isn't
he? He's just unreal, aye. And that's why it's like any action. It's not about like, oh, we need 100 million for Rafa. It's like we need him to rethink his position at the club. We need him out, and I think that should be the bottom line of
so
anything.
How do you lads think that we should sort of progress with this, Mickey? What are your thoughts on? What would you like? You say this is, you know, step one of maybe 10,000, but at least it's progress. What does step sort of 2, 3 look like to you?
Just to call you on something there. You said that we need to get Mike Ashley to rethink his attitude towards Newcastle. We need him to leave. Absolutely, black and white. There's nothing Mike Ashley can do now to rekindle any relationship with the fans of this club. It's gone. It's long gone. My next steps, if I had any influence, which I do not, it just needs to be targeted at Mike Ashley and make his life worse. Sports Direct is the one thing that we can influence. And look at what Rangers achieved. He had his claws almost all the way into that club and they forced him almost all the way out by targeting Sports Direct.
What did they do?
A whole host of different things. Yeah. So they picketed Sports Direct shops. They gathered as much stuff as they could in their basket, took it to the till and offered a pound, which is what he paid for what he paid for the rights. They organised a campaign online to block the website. They threatened to attend the Sports Direct AGM with busloads of full of people.
Which had to be rearranged six times.
So there was a whole host of things. And
they're serious. We're not serious, you know. I'm not being funny. We are not going to do anything.
That's what's different between what I think and what most of us think needs to happen and what is currently happening. A hashtag campaign on Twitter doesn't achieve any of that.
I think obviously life's short and people are busy, do you know what I mean? And I get it. Like, and that's why we kind of end up back at square one all the time, because
that's why we're still here, isn't it? Like, because nobody.
I'm not saying that no one's got any life in Glasgow, but I'm just saying, like, I kind of get it, but like, and I haven't really got time to go and pick at Sports Direct, but I certainly won't buy anything from there.
Well, we need to make time. That's the thing. We need to make time.
Effort. It takes effort, and that's you know that people are going to have to put their own time into it. And I think I do get the sense that, you know, we've tried to do these kind of campaigns and protests before, but to be honest, I think the main problem is that these kind of things have always been really fractured. And I think, you know, one group will come forward with an idea, but then there's always another group that wants to do something in a different way, and it doesn't get kind of universal support. And I think, again, this is where Newcastle United Supporters Trust can kind of galvanize all these smaller splinter cells, if you will, and form a sort of much larger conglomerate of fans who can all kind of, you know, it's going to be whatever the approach is, it's going to be a compromise on whatever. You can't please everybody.
I don't necessarily think that needs to be the case. You know, we don't need everyone singing from the same hymn sheet. We just need to be going from the same book. So if there's lots of different groups that want to do their own thing, as long as they're all targeting Mike Ashley as a person, legally, of course, we're not recommending anything else. As long as they're all making his life worse and making his life a headache to do with Newcastle United, then it only adds to the pressure.
Steve Rafe said at the talking that his idea was for everyone to, on a match day, obviously when everyone's already going to be in town centre, queue up at Sports Direct from the till all the way out, all the way from the street, all the way down, and just not buy anything when you get the till, because they can't physically stop you from doing that. I think that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah.
Like, we should all be in there causing absolute havoc on a match day, just trying on shoes that are far too small for us. Like, should I mean? So can I try on these three pairs of shoes in size 6, 8, and 9? But, well, what size are your feet? Well, does it matter? Like, we should be running their staff absolutely ragged. Like, made it impossible for them to organize anything, make any sales on the day of a match day every single time until he pies it. Because something's got to change.
One thing that people are going to criticize with that approach, and I agree with you completely, is that it's going to make the staff's lives worse. Now, first point is,
I don't think their life could be any worse working at Sports Direct.
They must hate their jobs anyway, because he's such a cunt and he makes his.
I think it'll brighten up their day. I really do.
Probably will. Number two is that, they don't care if Sports Direct makes money. None of them give a shit. They're not incentivized at all. They don't even have a guaranteed hours contract. Like, they don't give two shits if Newcastle's Northumberland Street store takes in £100,000 in a day or £0. Yeah. They don't care.
What
not
it will
all.
Do is it would get attention. It would get media exposure, possibly nationally. Yeah. And that's what you want. Look, his profits are down something like 74% or something in the latest quarter.
I hear that, but are they? Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't know. It's not my area of expertise. This is just what I've read.
I read into it and I just thought, but are they? Do you know what I mean?
On paper,
they're down. It's 84, I think.
It's not a sales thing. It's Debenhams.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So the Debenhams thing, ultimately, he is not getting as much money as he would like, I think, is the general thing. That can only be a good thing. So,
but mate, the man is a, like, plea to poverty on national television. It's absolutely crazy. He's been on them and like, I haven't got the money like these other billionaire owners. I'm not really a billionaire, basically. And plead the poverty that he can't just pour money in the club. It's absolutely crackers. Imagine working for him on minimum wage. Probably less minimum wage, because he employs like 16, 17-year-olds who can be on like £4 something. Imagine being on £4 something, working 50-odd hour weeks at bloody Silverlink for him, and then seeing him on telly pleading poverty that he can't pour money in the club.
But is his wealth caught up in sort of assets rather than liquid cash.
Don't want his money. I don't want his money. We want the club's money.
Because there's no way, right, that this club is not a profitable. Like, everyone says, oh, he runs it like a good business. What would you do when I go on about a sponsorship? Oh, well, you just give it the highest bidder, wouldn't you? Well, probably not. Do you know what I mean? You'd probably look at the sponsor, who they are, what they can do for the club, how you can associate yourself with better brands, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't actually run it like a good business. Do you know what I mean? This club has surely got to be self-sustainable and profitable. For him to claim that we can't spend it, what have we spent in the transfer window so far?
4 million? 6 million?
And you've got Everton about to spend 50 million on
Charles.
Like a new
tea lady or something.
Paul, I'll come to you, mate. How, you know, what do you think the next step should be? How do you see it kind of, in an ideal world, how do you see this platform that has been created by If Rafa Goes, We Go, how do you see this being a force for good that can galvanise everybody and create something that's going to have an impact?
Well, the Twitter thing's done one thing, and it's got people talking, which is obviously, that's one step. But it's about getting the right people talking as well. Like you say, if you haven't got Twitter, do you know this is going on? So any kind of action that's going to get some proper press involved, targeting the Sports Direct stores, that kind of thing, then that can only be good, because that's going to give him a headache. It's going to give something to deal with. And the more we do that, I think we might get somewhere. But again, it's just, I think we need to keep reiterating the point that it's not about trying to get money for Rafa. It is about getting rid of him out of the club. So it needs to be a sustained effort. It can't be just like one Saturday. It's like, I know everyone loves a pint before the match and stuff like that. So it's a big thing. It's like, because you're taking away the social aspect. But like, I mean, if you look at the food bank, there's people like volunteering that, and they've agreed on their sort of pints before the game, and they're doing like a worthwhile thing. Well, I think this is a worthwhile cause. I'm not comparing it to like homelessness and things like that, but this is like a genuine. It's getting your club back. It's getting the club that you fell in love with, the one that you sacrifice anything for, and trying to get that. And I think the next step is getting it out there. And like, I knew about the Rangers scene because it brought a cause to stir, and that's what we need to do. It's not about picking shots at each other and stuff like that. Oh, you're not as good as me because I'm doing this. And so it's like, lads, we need to get together. And lasses, by the way. But like, it's like one concerted effort and a sustained effort until it happens. That's what needs to happen.
It needs to be led with cohesion and clarity. And
yeah.
And I think it's difficult, isn't it? Because we want kind of to cause this stir now before it's too late, before the transfer window shuts. Because at that point, Rafa Benitez will probably make up his mind whether he's going to stay beyond May or not. But it's a double-edged sword at the minute, because we want to attract new signings at the minute. Looking at it from a short-term perspective, I appreciate we're having to sort of go between long-term and short-term.
Yeah.
But would potential transfer targets choose us over other clubs? You know, they're going to have equivalent or better offers. All the transfer targets that we have, they're going to have equivalent or better offers.
Yeah.
When they see a club with fan unrest, you know, is that gonna deter them?
It happens on the continent all the time, though. You see, like Lazio stadium was empty and stuff like that, and it's like it didn't stop them signing players and things like that. I know it's different, and it's a different sort of country and a different culture and all that kind of thing, but it's effective and it works, and you know, people kicking off and that, it just catches attention and makes people think differently, and that's what we've got to do.
I think it's already far too late for us to affect this transfer window.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, definitely.
Like,
yeah.
It's far too late. They've already, whatever they're going to do is already done. Like, you know, they might come out, they might spend 20 million before the end or whatever. Yeah. But again, essentially, we're going to be looking at 10 with Rafa Benitez. This group of players with another manager doesn't get near the top 10.
Absolutely. Well, let's get on to that, Chubbs, and I'll let you kind of continue. How do you see the next couple of weeks going transfer wise going, and what do you think, because of the situation we find ourselves in with restricted transfer budgets, etc., how do you think we'll do?
I would much rather sit here and talk about this. I want to sit and talk about tactics. I want to sit and talk about the team. I want to talk football. I don't really want to be talking about the lads going in and trying on bikinis on match day to wind up Sports Direct. You know what I mean? That's the ridiculousness that it's got to.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually got to that point. Like,
we're going to need to see those pictures.
Chest hair won't look too good.
Depends what you're into.
But yeah, I think that we might pop out 20 mil, maybe up to 30, but it's really in the way the Premier League is looking, it's not going to make a huge amount of difference. I think we've got a decent squad anyway. They're decent, like decent Premier League side. We're no more than that. This club thoroughly deserves European football. Like, it simply does. Do you know what I mean? That is the long and short of it. That's what I grew up on. That's just a fact. If you look at everything, the way like we influence the UK as a city, like, we deserve to be in and around the top 6, 7, 8. Even, you know, Europa League would be fantastic. Like, I don't think people realise, like, a lot of clubs take the piss out of Europa League. You ask a set of Geordies if they want to go to fucking the Czech Republic on a Thursday night, they will be there, like, do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
They'll be there enjoying themselves, like, and there'll be a canny few pints sold. Like, we would love that. Like, that's where I want to see us. I think Kennedy rips up most defences, regardless of who he's playing for. He's just that sort of player, do you know what I mean? He's just a bit of an animal. Like, he's going to be he's not really, you know, tactically astute or anything, but when he gets the ball, he's exciting to watch, and he's just going to go past players.
I mean, there's talk that Richarlison, £50 million Richarlison, is a bit of a, you know, poor man's Kennedy,
yeah, yeah,
really.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's the talk I've heard anyway.
Yeah. Might be black and white tinted specs on there, but I tend to agree. I think that aside, I think we're a competitive Premier League team, but we just deserve a lot more. The other transfer targets I've seen we're looking at, maybe I'm not doing enough of my homework, but I'm not too clued up on like the left back from Bristol and bits and bobs like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, nor should I be that clued up on the left back from Bristol, to be quite honest. Like, I'm a Newcastle United fan, do you know what I mean? Like, I shouldn't have to be clued up on Bristol's 24-year-old left back who comes in as a backup for Paul Dummett. Like, I shouldn't really be interested in that. But I think, again, you know, sort of stable Premier League team. I don't think we're anywhere any danger of relegation. I just think there's a lot of jealousy looking over our neighbours' fences at the minute of what other teams are doing, and players that would probably much rather be here given the opportunity.
Yeah, and this is ultimately because Mike Ashley will not loan money against the guaranteed TV money, which is how the likes of Fulham are spending 20, 30 million on players, and Bournemouth can...
Obviously, Wolves are in a bit of a different situation.
Wolves are... That's an anomaly,
decent situation. Yeah, yeah, they're doing all right.
You know, that's...
But again, they're trying to fill that void of being the big club from sort of the Midlands, you know, around Birmingham. Like, I mean, West Brom have never been that trendy. Birmingham City haven't been in the top flight for a long, long time. Villa are obviously disgusting by their nature. So they're trying to fill they're trying to fill that sort of like Midlands void where, and I think that's a good business prospect for their owners and stuff. I think they've done like, you know, it is decent. They'll be around a long time. But yeah, I really think we need to step it up if we want to get any sort of excitement out of the fans or any hopes for top eight.
Cool. Paul, how do you see the season going?
Much like last, I think. Hopefully we've got the same highlights as we had in terms of beating the likes of Man U and Chelsea and Arsenal.
They're just a given though, wasn't it?
Well, of course I. Fortress St. James's and things. But because like, I don't know, like maybe without those results, does the season just look a bit average, so to speak? But, you know, but I don't know. But yeah, much the same. I think, like you're saying, that there's a lot of money being spent on players that aren't worth what they're getting bought for. So
maybe we're dodging a few bullets here, lads.
don't dress it up. I'd rather we're going out there and trying, and let's say these players that would do rate, there isn't the opportunities to come to Newcastle because it's not going to happen. We're not competitive. You can sell them a dream and stuff like that, but it's just like, I know, but such and such down the road is going to give us three times what you're offering, and it's not going to happen.
So second verse, same as the first for you.
Yeah,
for,
I think
for
so.
Rafa's second full season in the Premier League, I think, for Newcastle.
But that's down to the talent of Rafa, to be honest. He's keeping that squad afloat. Like I say, they're a decent squad, but without Rafa, it's like...
I think that's half the problem, though, as well, you know, because effectively, I know we've got a bad run at the start of the season, but I think we'll go in, and we'll get some good results, and this will all be forgotten again. Because Rafa's got we're playing.
He papers over those cracks, as you mentioned before. Yeah.
Again, the hashtag will be forgotten, the protest will be forgotten, because people will be like, oh, it's Harry, you know what I mean? We're back at the match, we just drew a Man U. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's escapism from all the politics from Saturday to Saturday.
We're going to be back to square one.
Mickey, what are your thoughts of this season?
We're getting to the point where the immediate future in Newcastle is becoming an irrelevance. There's far more important things at play than how this season goes. But if I look at it objectively, I think we'll do roughly the same as we did last year. Rafa's got us playing as far greater than the sum of its parts, which is great to see. You know, the stuff on the pitch is so divided and opposite to what we've got off the pitch at the minute. It's difficult. It puts us in a difficult place as fans because you want to get behind those lads. Like, those lads are trying their fucking hardest every weekend in training. You can tell. And Rafa's in there 6 o'clock in the morning every single day. Hasn't been on holiday again this year to not sign anyone. Like, it doesn't sit that well with us to be doing anything in the ground for that reason. And you know, you never know with a bit of money coming back from players, which shouldn't be necessary, but a bit of sales and a little bit of money in the pot. Rafa buys a couple of good quality players. We can go up a bit in the league and finish 9th, 8th. I don't think we'll get Europe, and I don't think we'll deserve Europe. And it would be a fucking waste of time anyway because we don't have the squad for it. But
I'd love a cup run, I would love
that. A cup run would be nice.
But I think we would need a higher calibre player, like you say, just in that squad to try and, you know, just get over the line. So
a talisman.
Yeah, something to hang your hat on, but...
I mean, personally, I think I'm very much of the same thing, and I think we'll probably do, strangely, I think we'll probably finish below 10th, but I think we'll sort of overall do slightly better, if that makes sense.
Amass more points, you mean?
We'll be a lot more consistent.
We won't lose the bottom teams.
I don't think we'll not win in 9 games, for example, and things like that. I think we'll be, you know, Rafa found his formula at the back end of last season, and he's adding a couple of players that will definitely, you know, I think we'll see a lot more from Kennedy that we've had him for pre-season and that we have him for a full season and he can feel settled, for example. So I think we'll probably finish about 13th, 12th, 11th, but I think it'll be a more cohesive season, and I think it'll be progression from that really good run from the back end of last season. I still think for a time we will be in a relegation battle, because we're standing still while everyone around us spends. And obviously price isn't necessarily indicative of talent, and whether you buy a £30 million player, that doesn't necessarily fit in a system. There's been plenty of that in other clubs as well. But I trust Rafa to get the best out of it. But yes, he would be papering over the cracks. But I think it'll be an enjoyable enough season that if this was Rafa Benitez's final season, then we could at least get some enjoyment out of him. But let's hope that's not the case. Let's hope there's a bit of movement. And I guess we'll just see what happens, really. I'm probably going to call it there. I think we've got through a lot. I think there'll be a lot more to talk about over the coming weeks as we see how the transfer window manifests itself and how the squad changes. I don't think there'll be loads of changes, but I think there'll be probably be a couple of surprises that, you know, might be able to get us at least a little bit excited. Yeah. But we'll see. Maybe that's just my optimism clouding my judgment. So Chubbs, Paul, Mickey, thanks very much for joining us. If you haven't already subscribed to Patreon, if you're listening or watching this, please get on board. Get access to loads of fantastic content by the whole team here. There's a load of us and we work really hard to bring you new, engaging content that's sometimes it'll make you laugh, sometimes it'll make you cry. But we really appreciate the fans engaging and we want a lot more of you on board as well. So for the price of is a fiver a month, just get on board. Get on board with Patreon. It's on Twitter at TF Weekly Pod and the link's there with all the details and how to get on board. Thanks very much. This has been the True Faith Podcast with me, Adam, and we'll see you next time. Cheers.